Test 1, 2. Amen. That's going to be loud enough, right? Yeah. So I was up early as usual at 4 o'clock and riding my bike, doing my devotionals in the basement, and I turned on Channel 4 because I am yet to have seen any of the British Open. And, oh my goodness, they showed the first it was a kind of a scenic film tour of the Northern Ireland coast. And golf is often one of these games that talks about integrity and truthfulness. And I truthfully could not have enough golf balls and or clubs because they'd all be gone by the time I finished around there. So I would need 6 or 7 leprechauns to get through that one. So now to the truth. And I don't know what you see in courts anymore, or people taking oaths. We've seemed to already change that in this country. And so people put their hand on the Bible. I brought one of my bigger ones that will hurt somebody if they break into our house. And they say, I pledge, I vow this oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. With the right hand in the air, right? Yeah, left on the Bible, right hand, or on right hand in the air. And so I open this with a thought from the Psalms as we have been walking through these incredible attributes. May we, as God chose me and us his ways, O Lord, we pray, teach us your paths, lead us in the truth, and teach us, for you are the God of salvation. On you I wait all the day long. And that's from Psalms 25, 4 and 5. And so today we're looking at the word. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done or written in truth. Psalms 33:4. We look at this word truthfulness, and this is a New King James Version, but in the NIV, it's only there twice, truthfulness. So we have to look at some synonyms or words or of conjuncted from that, like true, 123 times. And we just heard one of those. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's another one. So, truthfulness. And we've been doing nesses, haven't we, Chris? We've been doing words that end like that with the attributes of God. For the case of truthfulness, the Bible and its author are strengthened in the disciplines of archaeology, history, documentation. The message of the Bible is faithfully consistent, historically accurate within itself. It is the truth. Nearly 10,000 manuscripts by 40 authors over 3,000 years, 99% the same. No other book in any way comes near that. The Bible speaks in its own perfection and truth because God is. He says that Jesus affirms the Bible is true and said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words won't. He is the word. They'll never pass away. So he says, sanctify them, his followers, by the truth. And Greg was saying, we should start with that. Your word is truth. John 17:17. The psalm writer tells us of the truthfulness of the Bible. The instruction of the Lord is perfect. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. Trustworthy is also a word that fits right in that, isn't it? So he is trustworthy. That's Psalms 19:7. Because God is truth, his word is faithful and true. That's Revelation 22:17. 6. And we know that Jesus speaks the word, he wrote the word, he created, and all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Do we look at the righteousness of God? Not yet. 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about the God-breathed scripture. So this is sort of a definition I was writing on this word, truth, truthfulness. They're interrelated. Is the interrelated consistency of statements that, and that their correspondence with the facts of reality and the facts themselves. It suggests an integration of character and adherence of virtue, a kind of reliability, which includes and goes beyond the literal meaning to include those aspects of personal behavior, which seem to be implied by the love of truth. The concept of truth is derived from the character of God, which we're studying, and is the exact opposite of the concept of lying, because, as we've been studying, it's impossible for God to lie, right? He is truth, the opposite. Since it's impossible for God to lie, we know that everything he says about what will happen will actually take place. If we are to become perfect, we need to be known as individuals who tell the truth, like God. That means when we promise something, we need to keep the promise and not make it or not make it in the first place. We need to try to place ourselves in situations where we don't feel the need to lie or defend ourselves. Those circumstances happen, don't they? Through these, all things pertaining to life and godliness, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, we, you, may participate in the divine nature, one of which is truth, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires, from 2 Peter 1:4. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are what? Yes and amen in Christ. And so, through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. We're speaking to the truth. Truthfulness is a moral quality too, right? It's a quality or attribute of God, like righteousness, like justice, like integrity. Integrity, truthfulness, a lot of these are related. They come together, right? There's no one. God is more than all of them. A synonym would be veracity, trustworthiness. It might be the most important characteristic of God, some say, because truth is absolute. So are all these other attributes. There's only one truth. Really? I thought it was whatever you believed is true. We need to put on the belt of truth, the full armor of God, the belt of truth. What is not truth is false. You are entitled to your own opinion, but not facts. What are alternative facts? You've heard that before, right? Truth serves goodness and the Creator. The Creator. We go back to Genesis, right? That's that ultimate statement of God in truth. And he created everything, and it was good, and it was very good. 1:9. All about God and his character, goodness, truth, kindness, harmony, all these things. His imprint and seal is upon the world. But how does the world do with that? My son out in Montana is a world-class archer. He holds 7 world records in big game. And he shoots an arrow, and it's, what do they say, Robin Hood. Robin Hood shoots true. I think they said that. Fits well with the story. Today, people go, there's a tree. Whoop, and they go up to it with a magic marker and draw the target around it, don't they? Robin Hood split the apple. It's a different kind of thing. But it makes a good metaphor, doesn't it? Yeah, so we have the belt of truth. We have this we have this painting of a circle of our personal agendas. Science has an agenda, doesn't it? Like CNN. Jesus said in the end times, false Christs, false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So God's warning us, right? We can be deceived. Don't be deceived. So what's the source? Jesus. James 1, we studied James. I keep going back to it. I love the book because it's hard. It says to ask God for wisdom after we talk about trials. Why am I joyful in trials? How does that work? Well, he says then, so if anyone asks or lacks wisdom, just ask of God, and he will pour out generously the truth. Yeah. The ancient Jews in Israel from Deuteronomy, one of Moses' Pentateuch, Sandy, we read the Shema, right? Would you state it for us? Yep, and you shall love the Lord your God with heart, soul, and your strength. Right, and that's repeated, isn't it? Old and New Testament. So it... So it's a very powerful statement. God's truthfulness means that he is the true God and that all his knowledge and words are both true and the final standard of truth, John 1:1. The term veracity, which means truthfulness or reliability, has sometimes been used to talk about this. There were these two brothers in this church. They're very wealthy. They were kind of scoundrels. Wealth was just part of their deal. So the church was growing, though, and the pastor said, we got to have a new building project. We're going to have a building project. And he talked to these two guys and didn't hear anything. And then one of the brothers comes in because his brother, the other brother, had just died. And he comes in chagrined, and he gives a huge gift to the church. And he says, Pastor, I want you to say that he was a saint. Oh boy, he thought, this is going to be difficult because I have to tell the truth, right? So he comes up on the day and he's giving the funeral. And so he begins and he said, this man was a scoundrel. He never told the truth. He hurt people. He ran over old ladies in the road. His businesses, the way he worked was awful. It was just awful. Everybody just couldn't believe it. But against his brother, he was a saint. Yeah, divine veracity presents things that really are accurate, right? There are so many of these verses. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth is without iniquity, right? Just and right is he. In Psalms 57, we read, for the mercy, thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Truth is talked about a lot in the New Testament, particularly in John. I think I got this from the King James. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, right? That's big, right? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We are sanctified by truth. I've done that one twice for emphasis. God's word guarantees the truth. We have these sets of weights. Remember in the olden days, they'd have these calibrated, they still do, the calibrated weights. And when the merchant would put things on the scale, you knew you were getting it because he had his thumb on the scale. And no, we want the truth. And the scales of the world, yeah, they are not truth. In Philippians, after we hear about how the peace of God can be with us as we want to get rid of our anxiety with thanksgiving, we take all these things to God. And Paul goes next. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about these things, and whatever you've seen or heard in me, put them into practice. Whenever I read that verse, seen in me, he's a disciple, he's an apostle of God, and he knows the truth, and the truth has set him free. But I think what he's also saying is, whatever you've seen in me, I'm trying to explain to you and trying to demonstrate, which is very hard, who is Christ? Who is Christ? It's him. He is the truth. He is the one we're looking at because he is the only, the way, the truth, and the life. That's why we're looking at him. So Jesus obviously was bugging the religious ones, wasn't he? So they were going to put him to death, and he was standing before Pilate. And Jesus said to Pilate that he would bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And as I was, Pilate asked him, are you the king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I will come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So he keeps asking, so what is truth? So what is truth? And he made it pretty obvious that he, the guy standing before him, is the truth, and what he says bears witness to the truth. God does not countenance or allow or easily receive sinning just because he set us free, right? Sinning does not bring more grace. And Paul said this in kind of a way that made us wonder, but it does not bring more grace. Truthful lips do, on the other hand. Truthful lips endure forever. But a lying tongue lasts only a moment, from Proverbs 12:19. There's a lot of stuff in Proverbs. Truthful occurs 8 times there. Truthful lips save lives. I got a brand new phone. As Roger Smith knows, we were out fishing last week out in the Spring Creeks in the southern part of the state, southwestern part of the state. And after catching 2 fish, I leaned over in my phone. Yeah, and we were in a rapids. The water was clear, so I wandered around in the water for quite a while, but I figured it had enough buoyancy that it disappeared into this 12-foot deep pool beyond. And so for all of you who might have sent me notes in that time, thank you. So, truthful lips save lives, but false witness is deceitful, right? Let's see if I can find where I was. I should number these. Oh, I write too much, right? Some of you know that. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles, and the nations cannot endure his wrath. That's from Jeremiah. So he is all these things. And for those who don't think God is wrathful, he is. He doesn't like it when we don't walk in the truth. He tells us, he who gives testimony to God speaks true, John 3:33. So how do we do this? Jesus sent us his Holy Spirit, right? We can't do this on our own. When we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts as Savior and Lord, he sends his Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Convictor, and the one who guides us. He is the Spirit of Truth. There it is. The Spirit of Truth comes, and he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, though it's interesting. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you. Is that because he has to wait for God to tell him? No, he's already heard it. He already knows it. Just like Jesus goes to the Father. But he already knows the Father, because he is part of the triune God. So, a time is coming, he tells the woman at the well. A time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So that's us, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. We all should know him better and better every day and trust in him and ask him to guide us always. The Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And when the Advocate comes, that is the Paraclete, that is the Holy Spirit, whom I will send, the Spirit of Truth, he'll testify about me. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you in all the truth. Again, I'm saying that. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he'll guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, right? So we have a Holy Spirit is the way. And through the Word is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to us in prayer through his Word, the Bible, through circumstances sometimes, and through other godly people. Blackaby talked about that, Henry Blackaby, in his study Experiencing God. That we go where God is working, right, David? Yeah, because there's truth around there. Henry Ironside, heard of him? He said, God forbid that we should traffic in unlived truth. That's, yeah, convicting. How about Solzhenitsyn concluded his Nobel Prize speech with a Russian proverb, one word of truth outweighs the whole world. If I could change a couple of words in the proverb, I would say, this is him talking, one person of truth impacts the whole world. And I conclude with a word from D.L. Moody, who said, the best way to see if a stick is crooked is not to argue about it, but to lay it against a straight stick, right? The Word of God. You got some questions? Add some more if you like. Have some fun. Stay in the truth. Amen. Yeah.